Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Now, Industry 4.0 and disruption have thrown the business landscape into a tizzy. And as much as entities may be able to keep up with the pace of change in terms of processes, perhaps business leaders and managing their people has not. Many business leaders cite managing people as a huge challenge, particularly when going through transformation.
And joining us with her insights is Chris Ang, Authentic Conversation Leadership Coach, Mentoring Coach, Young Presidents Organization, Certified Forum, Mentoring Facility. Facilitator and poet. Oh, Chris, welcome to the show. What is the most neglected aspect of managing a business today, in your opinion?
Hi, Bernard. Hi, Howie. I believe what is lacking is the courage to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And authentic here means be open and truthful, the courage to be vulnerable, and to admit that they don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
That's challenging, though. To reveal, Chris, why would you say that this aspect is most neglected? And why is it essential not to neglect it?
Well, most leaders are expected to have all the answers. Well, they're paid to know all the answers.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you didn't become a leader by knowing nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes.
That's why we're not leaders.
At the same time, we don't have all the answers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if we wing it, we come across as being arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And the courage to admit that you don't have all the answers, actually you'll garner more support from your team because you're more real. So most of the time, people look at admitting not knowing as being weak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, when a leader is courageous enough to say, hey, I don't have all the answers. I need us to collaborate. What else do you know that I don't know?
Mm-hmm.
And withholding judgment is one great way to see the real problem below it and working together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's risky, though, also, I feel, because if you admit weakness, there may, to some degree, be members of your staff who feel,
How come
you don't know? I expect you to know because you are my leader, because you are the owner of the entity, for example.
Yeah.
What do we do with those kinds of mindsets then?
Because I have coached CEOs for 17 years now. And obviously, most of them are like you. They will say, no, I'm supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, go back and try. Try and talk to your head of department and said, you know what? I don't have all the answers. I need you guys to talk about it and contribute.
Right.
And I'm all ears. I'm not going to judge you.
Mm-hmm.
And when they try that, all the team members felt that they have a voice.
Mm.
And the outcome actually is more vibrant because it's not from one person's perspective. It's from a team of department heads.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say a C-suite member realized that they need some help and maybe training in the change management department. How can they? I'm still a little bit puzzled. How can they manage the image while they go through training? I mean, I'm sure if you're a leader, nobody wants to expose their vulnerabilities. How do they manage that?
What I do is I told them, because most people felt that if I'm going for training, that means I don't know everything.
Yeah, are you qualified to do the job, though?
Yeah.
Could be the consensus from rank and file, right?
Yeah. At the same time, when leaders are humble enough to attend training with their team members.
You think they should? Attend with their staff, not separately.
And ask questions.
Right.
And be as curious as all the other people in their whole team. They find that they have a greater buy-in when they ask their team to do something with them. Because they felt that, my boss is also learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a learning culture company because we don't know everything. The more we learn, the more we know. When you know better, you do better.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris Ang, Authentic Conversation Leadership Coach, Mentoring Coach, and Young Presidents Organization Certified Forum and Mentoring Facilitator, also a poet. We'll get to that in just a bit. Chris, then how else can business leaders say successfully get buy-in from their staff, especially when the business undergoes change, transformation, for example, right? Beyond, say, being authentic and honest.
So what I did for one of the client is she's terrified because the company has to go through transition and she didn't want the key staff to leave. And I said, well, you will need to be open and honest with them. Tell them that we are going to go through change and I'm going to tell you the positive and the negative side of it. And I need you to tell me what you need from me so that we can make this transition smoother for everybody. And what came out actually saved her a lot of money. And the staff stayed on when she had to go through the transition together with them.
Right.
Here's the other thing that may come up. I know I'm sounding a lot like devil's advocate at this point, right? Is to then the fear of being held hostage by demands from your staff.
There will always be people who stay and people who go.
Right.
It is what it is. Well, the people who stay are the ones you want to really treasure them. Yeah, because they'll go through fire and storm with you. And those who have to go, please go.
Goodbye.
Okay. I just want to ask you this other question, Chris. I mean, how much more challenging is it when business leaders are working with spouses or other family members?
Very challenging.
Oh, dear.
I wouldn't advocate that unless they have an agreement. It's like a prenup. It's all stated out that these are the boundaries and you stick to the boundaries. You are able to hire and fire. And whenever things are not working out, you can say, I want to quit. And there's no question asked. Because end of the day, you want to weigh, is the relationship more important or the business is more important?
But you speak from a perspective that it's bound to not be good.
I have
Can
seen
it be
some,
okay?
I've seen some work most of the time because they really adhere to the boundaries.
Right.
Yeah.
So they spelt it out beforehand. Let's stick to the, the rules of engagement. So
I work with spouses, couples, and I work with siblings in business.
Right.
And they all have to stick to the boundaries, be able to be open about what is working and what's not working, and stick to the business.
Right.
Yeah.
See, the situation is there are loved ones who are of a higher position, right? Do you advocate loved ones being managed differently than, say, regular staff or not?
I would not advocate them to be managed differently because then your staff would, oh, of course,
nepotism,
that's your son.
Right?
Of course, you give them, kind of stuff. So they have to manage the same way as they manage anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is the boundary. And I, as a son or a spouse, you cannot say, hey, why are you so mean to me in the office today?
Yeah.
And some people tell me that they are actually managed harder by their spouse in the office.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. By way of compensation almost, right?
Overcompensating. They feel it's harder.
Mm-hmm.
But in a business environment, you really manage in the business way.
Mm-hmm.
At home, of course, you can pamper, but in the business, when in a board meeting, when you're doing presentation, it is business, not personal.
Okay, well, Chris, congratulations on recently publishing a book of poetry. I know your CV mentioned that you write poems as well. So it seems very unusual for a business coach. I mean, tell us how writing poetry actually helps with the work that you do.
It's actually one of my passions, and I use the poetry in my workshop with the CEOs. And it is part of my journey of self-empowerment. And when I use that and they said, wow, it connects. Can I share it with somebody? Because this is so powerful. Because
make sure you put copyright there, Chris.
Poetry is so succinct that in a few lines, it tells the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
It basically connects to the emotion part. And when people are trying to find words to express themselves, they can just use it and say, what do you think? No?
But poetry feels a little inaccessible to some. As a literature student, I've got to tell you, Chris, that poetry was not one of my favorite topics to do, or not one of my favorite subjects. It was a little intimidating. It was a little hard to decipher. Mm-hmm. But you are hoping that people just take whatever they take from it. Not in fast rules as to what it might mean, right?
You'd be surprised. I'm not a literature graduate. I just write from my heart.
Right.
And I've showed it to my publisher, and he said, give me some more. I showed it to a literary graduate, and she said, huh. She pointed out some of the structures that I have no idea where it come from. So it's just daring with the passion, and I just go with it.
So you're by nature lyrical.
I hope so. I believe having a book out and having endorsed by the publisher, it means that I've got something.
Mm.
I've got something to connect with people.
Chrisang, it's been a pleasure. Poets, Authentic Conversation Leadership Coach, Mentoring Coach, and Young Presidents Organization Certified Forum and Mentoring Facilitator as well. Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you, Howie. Thank you, Bernard.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.